Hi everyone, this is my last few hours in Oslo, my last few hours in a hotel room, which is going to be a very nice change after nearly 3 weeks. So this is Friday morning in Oslo. I have just had, 4 days worth of workshops. Last week I came to you from here with Scott Helmer at the NDC Oslo event, which was totally awesome. Most people went home to other places on the weekend. I stuck around and just did two-day training sessions. Now, these guys all talked about it publicly and shared it, so I can name them, I think. I spent a couple of days with Bouvet in Norway, which was cool. And then a couple of days with PayEx as well, who do payment systems, which was kind of interesting. So it's one of the things that's really cool about doing these workshops is going to different companies that just work in really different industry sectors and different areas. Sometimes it's banks and sometimes it's e-commerce platforms. But getting to sort of go into these organizations and see what their challenges are, and that really helps a lot of the other stuff I do, like the blogging and the Have I Been Pwned bits, and obviously the speaking and things like that as well. So that's really neat to a degree. So I have been trying to reduce the number of events and workshops I'm doing as well. Hasn't been working so well. But as part of that attempt to reduce them, Scott Helm has been running some workshops as well. So he is over in Denmark at the moment. So he was running one yesterday, being the Thursday, and today, 2-day event. So that seems to be going well for Scott over there. And hopefully we'll be able to, hopefully will lead to me spending a little bit more time at home. So at the moment, after I get home, after a very, very bloody long 3 flights, which is not so much fun. For some reason, they want me to go through Singapore, so okay. So hopefully after I get home, I won't be going away overseas for quite some time. I do have a bunch of events in Sydney in July, in Sydney in August. I also have to go snowboarding for a week in August, very important. And then some other stuff locally around the country, which is going to be nice to be at least like on the same time zone or very close to the same time zone. So anyway, what do I got on the list for this week? Right, so because I've been so busy, I haven't written anything new, but I do have to talk about something I wrote last week that I forgot to talk about with Scott. But frankly, it's kind of better when he's not around distracting me. We always seem to end up getting distracted. God, sorry, mate, no offense. Now, one of the things that is coming up as a bit of a theme over the last few days is loads of people asking me about the MyHeritage data. So MyHeritage appears to be some sort of DNA testing website. They got themselves hacked a few weeks ago. Big news story then. 92 million records, I think it was. Like a really, really substantial amount of data. And, you know, these breaches happen. They're big news for a while, and then everyone moves on. And then suddenly the MyHeritage story started popping up again during the week. And I think what's happened is people have finally gotten their breach notifications from MyHeritage. And people have gone, when is the data going to be in Have I Been Pwned? So I thought I'd talk a little bit about how data gets into Have I Been Pwned and where it comes from. And the short answer is, it's when someone sends it to me. So these days, because there's a bunch of people out there that are supportive of what I do with the project, I have people continually popping up, usually on a daily basis, saying, hey, I've got data from somewhere or other. Now, this is not necessarily them who is hacking the data and taking it out of systems. In fact, the vast majority of the time, it is not. And it's a very uncomfortable discussion when it is. I try to avoid those if possible. But normally, it's someone who has found it being traded somewhere, exposed online. There are massive lists of data all over the place. I can't show you this one, but I'm just looking at my PC here. Someone sent me a list which I've seen before. And this list I'm looking at, it's just got, this would have to be hundreds of different major data breaches, many of which are in Have I Been Pwned already. Totaling, this must be hundreds of gigabytes, surely. It's just literally an open file share, a directory listing enabled on the web server. And it's just copious amounts of data. And this is by no means the only one. This is not the dark web either. Not on the dark web, on the clear web. You go to this in a web browser, people find this by Googling their own email address, and then they find themselves in these breaches. I'm certainly looking at multiple incidents here which have my data as well. And in fact, when someone sent me a link and said, hey, just want to let you know, this data breach is sitting out there. It's one that's already in Have I Been Pwned? Excuse me. And I said, yeah, I know. It's sitting there publicly facing, and it's got my email address and other personal data in it as well. So, it just seems to be the way it works these days. Anyway, so for MyHeritage and data being distributed this way, it's usually when people pop up and go, hey, here is some data. We thought it would be useful for Have I Been Pwned. Now, I've not seen anyone doing anything related to MyHeritage. So that's a bad choice of words. It's early. It's still coffee time. It's going to be really nice to get home to good coffee too. Okay, so I've not seen any chatter about MyHeritage. So I've not heard anyone claim to have it. And often people claim to have these things and then they turn out to be fake. I've not seen anyone talk. It's my phone. I'll come back to you. That was weird. Wrong number. I never get calls in a hotel room, and then when I do, they don't want me anyway. Anywho, moving on. So, MyHeritage. So, not seeing any chatter about that. Many of these incidents, let's sort of maybe break down the nature of these incidents. There are many incidents, like MyHeritage, where a big data breach happens, and the data never sees the light of day. Now, when I say sees the light of day, I mean gets distributed around publicly. So, something like MyHeritage, good example, the Yahoo data breaches, remember they had multiple ones. I have never seen anything credible about Yahoo data out there as well. So that's another good example. There are many other incidents that you would have heard about in the past, had breach notifications for, and the data is not out there. Compare that to something, compare that to something like Ashley Madison. So when Ashley Madison was breached in 2015, the entire MO of whoever it was that got in there, incidentally, still not caught, still, I believe, $500,000 Canadian reward outstanding for that person. Very strange. Anyway, Ashley Madison got distributed extensively, so it was really, really extensively torrented. So it was dead, dead simple to get Ashley Madison. There are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people that have the Ashley Madison data breach. So, sort of two ends of the extreme. Then there's a whole bunch of shades of grey in between where there is data that has been obtained by someone else and it does get redistributed to very small degrees. So, for example, many of the breaches that are in Have I Been Pwned, I had never seen any chatter about before, and then suddenly they pop up and someone sends them to me. So ones that come to mind are things like Disqus, Kickstarter, Bitly, Cafe Mom, Coupon Mom, a few of these ones that popped up late last year. And I have since seen these appear in other places, but they sort of started to filter out gradually. So I guess the point being is that just because there's a data breach like MyHeritage doesn't mean that that data is going to be publicly accessible anywhere, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to end up on Have I Been Pwned. Then, of course, there is this whole spectrum of unknown unknowns, the whole thing about there are all these data breaches which not only do we not know about as the public, but very often the organization who's been breached does not know about it. Sometimes they do know about it and they just decide not to disclose it. Sometimes they just simply never hear about it. Maybe they'll hear about it in years. Maybe we'll never know. So in many ways, and I know this is a sort of an often used phrase, but Have I Been Pwned is kind of like the tip of the iceberg. It's just this little glimpse of just the stuff that rises to the surface. And there's this masses and masses of data that sit underneath the surface that are not in Have I Been Pwned for all the reasons just mentioned. Now, having said that, there is a bunch of data in Have I Been Pwned from different sources, and this brings me to one of the blog posts I wanted to talk about, the one that I forgot last week because Scott and I were too busy conferencing. Now, this blog post was about the Estonian Central Criminal Police providing data to Have I Been Pwned to be searchable. Now, this is unprecedented for Have I Been Pwned, and it goes back a few weeks before I left Australia. They got in touch with me. And I find this a really fascinating situation, and I'll just sort of relay the way it went to me. None of this is sort of secretive or confidential. They're very open about it. They said, look, they have come across a whole bunch of data which they believe was hacked out of various systems, obtained in nefarious ways, relates to folks from Estonia, and was being used to break into anything from email accounts through to cryptocurrency accounts. And they were seeing a high prevalence of these people having things like crypto coins stolen. So pretty serious business once you actually get through to stealing money. Now, what they wanted to do was to let the people in this data set know, or to have some way of communicating to them, but they couldn't email them. And they couldn't email them for a couple of reasons. They said, look, one of the reasons we can't email them is they may no longer have access to the email account. Hacker's got the credentials for the email account, gets into the email account, locks the legitimate person out. So emailing them may never actually get to the impacted party. The other reason is that they really didn't want to set a precedent of sending emails from the police to citizens, because there's something that really, really smells like a fish in that. And I totally get this, and I'm sure that you often see emails, like I do, from legitimate organizations that are actual real emails that do look very, very much like a fish. And if an organization such as the police department starts this precedent of saying, we are going to email you and ask you to perform an action or ask you for information where the police trust us, and this is the becomes the norm, you can see the problem this creates in terms of desensitizing people to phishing attacks, which work in a very, very similar way. So for those two reasons, I said, look, we want to give you the data. And to be clear, all this was email addresses. So there are no passwords or anything like this in there. And yes, I did very carefully verify that it was the Estonian police I was talking to and not someone else pretending to be that. So they sent over 655,000 records, which I loaded into Have I Been Pwned last week. And this meant that folks from Estonia could then go to Have I Been Pwned and search. And inevitably, I believe there was communication in Estonia about, look, we're seeing this this style of attack. If you want to see if you're impacted, go to Have I Been Pwned, do the search, it will tell you. So that was really interesting. And it's just sort of one of these ways I never expected to see Have I Been Pwned used. And, you know, look, I've sort of, I guess, seen several different precedents that I didn't expect it to ever set. Things like working with the Australian, the UK and the Spanish governments as well. That was very unexpected, but very welcome as well. Like, if we can take this system, we being me, we and the community can take this system and do some good stuff with it, then that's totally awesome. Okay, so that was Estonian police. Something else, just looking at my notes here. One of the things I saw yesterday, which was actually pretty cool, is Report Your RI. So this is the project that Scott and I run together to do CSP reporting, certificate transparency reporting, and a whole bunch of other reporting of things that your browser can report, has been going really, really big. Obviously, we got the awards two and a half weeks ago. Time just becomes a blur when you travel, it really does. That was really cool. Off the back of that, we do have more and more subscribers signing up, which is totally awesome. Yesterday, we hit what I think is a new peak of reporting volume. We hit just over 15,000 requests a second. 15,000 requests a second. I think it worked out at like 930,000 a minute or something like that. And in fact, I think it actually went a little bit higher just after that as well. Now, this was because there was a subscriber that had come on board. They were submitting a huge number of reports due to the way they had configured their environment. And I thought I'd talk just briefly about the infrastructure side of things because Scott was speaking a little bit about it last week in the weekly update. So Scott did a talk at NDC. Once that video is live, I'll certainly share it on the Twitters as well. Did a talk at NDC about how we scale the Report URI infrastructure. And the really critical part of it was that on top of everything else underneath it, so there's a bunch of DigitalOcean bits and PHP and Azure table storage sitting underneath it, but in front of all that is Cloudflare. And every single report that gets submitted for CSP, Certificate Transparency, XSS Auditor as well, that one's in there too. Many people don't know that that's there. Anyway, all that stuff goes through Cloudflare. Now, what we can then do is we can control traffic flow at the edge, being Cloudflare. So everyone who signs up to Report URI gets to lodge 10,000 reports for free. So for all the folks who signed up and are not paying any money, as soon as we get to 10,000, what we do is one of our origin servers goes to Cloudflare and says, hey, any more traffic for this account, just black hole at the edge. So don't pass it on. So what it means is whether we get 10,000, 10 million, 10 billion reports for an account, doesn't matter. Doesn't change the overhead on our infrastructure because we can just bounce it all back at Cloudflare. And then as people start subscribing and paying for commercial plans, and then they might have 200,000 or 500,000 or 5 million or however many reports, we just up the limit before we put the rule on Cloudflare. And then we get the first of the month and we just roll them all over. We go, okay, everyone can report in. So we do have to be a little bit careful about the first of the month. And then as you hit your thresholds, then we just put the rules back in place. So this was really, really awesome. And hopefully in the case of this subscriber who's absolutely smashing through the reports, they will do a combination of tune their system such that they don't need to log as many reports. So hypothetically, if it's CSP reports, maybe they've got a bunch of CSP violations. Maybe their report isn't well configured. So they'll go through and configure that to optimize the report to reduce the amount of traffic. And then, of course, given we run a commercial service, we hope they'll actually pay for some reports. And that will increase their threshold before the rules kick in and they get bounced at Cloudflare. But I just think this is a super, super, super cool model to be able to control that traffic flow at the edge. All right. Also, on the CSP side of things, EVE Online. So EVE Online has been using pwned passwords on Have I Been Pwned? And both Scott and I spent quite a bit of time with the developer from there last week whilst he was over in DC. In fact, he was in my workshop. So we did a bunch of stuff on CSPs, HSTS, all the good acronyms. And I was really happy to see that EVE Online have now rolled out a content security policy. Excuse me again. And if you want to have a look at their CSP, it's on login.eveonline.com. And certainly as of yesterday, this policy was in report-only mode. So they've basically built up what they think is the right report. They've gone, it's probably not going to be right first go. So what we'll do is we'll run in report-only mode, which means it won't block. So, you know, they've written their CSP. They've said, look, we'll allow scripts from here and styles from there and images from there. If anything gets attempted to be loaded from another location, then don't block it, but send a report to report your URI. Then we'll monitor the reports. We'll tune our policy. And then when they're really, really super comfortable with the policy, they'll be able to take out the report only, start enforcing, and CSP will do its job. So that's super cool because EVE Online is just a massive, massive, massive service. And I was looking at their policy yesterday and they did have a few violations popping up. It was stuff like, I think there was a Facebook image, so they've probably got a social sharing icon or something. That hadn't been whitelisted. So there were a bunch of reports being generated for each person who went to the site. And then it's a very heavily trafficked, a very heavily trafficked site. So inevitably they have contributed to the 15,000 reports a second we were getting yesterday. But they will clean that up and refine their policy. And everyone still submits reports as well. So here's the other thing. Even when you have your CSP perfect, because there are a bunch of extensions out there that do screwy things and don't whitelist themselves in the CSP, everybody always gets reports. So no matter how well refined your policy is, I think my policy on Have I Been Pwned and on TroyHunt.com is just fine. I still get reports. But they're not a lot of reports. They're like hundreds per day when there's hundreds of thousands of visitors per day. So, you know, that's okay. Here's the other one too. The NHS in Scotland is also using Report URI. And I know this because I went to the NHS in Scotland to their website and I went to the network tools and I loaded the website, looked at the response headers of the first response being the web page itself, and I said, we're reporting to Report URI, which is super cool. So people using, or rather sites using Report URI do sort of implicitly advertise the fact as well. And in fact, the reason I was looking at NHS Scotland is because they use this browse allowed accessibility tool, which is the one that back in about Feb, I think it was, got a crypto miner in it. And the crypto miner got it put in there. Scott noticed it was there. And then he saw that every website using the browse allowed extension, library, whatever it is, service, had the crypto miner on their site. So like the NHS in Scotland, which is their national health service for those not from the UK, as well as the ICO in the UK, the Information Commissioner's Office, as well as the House of Representatives in the US, as well as the US court system and about 4,000 other sites, all had crypto miners in them because they just loaded JavaScript from this origin, which was the browse allowed server, and ran it blindly. And what I mean by blindly is whatever is in there will run, because that's what happens when you embed a JavaScript file in your website. So someone managed to get themselves a crypto miner in there. Now, the two defenses to this were to use sub-resource integrity, which is creating a hash of the external file, putting it as an integrity attribute on your script tag, and then saying when the file loads, it must hash to the same value as the integrity. That's built into every major browser today. So that's a good defense, and the NHS is now doing that. In fact, I noticed they had SHA hashes for like SHA-256, 384, and 512. They're just like, let's just hash everything, you know, like really, really make sure this doesn't happen again. So in the workshop yesterday, I was looking at this going, you know, here's how they fixed the problem. And then I noticed they had the content security policy as well. So, of course, they're reporting to Report URI, but they've also got a pretty robust policy by the look of it too. So I'm really happy to see that getting traction, because when Scott last ran his Alexa Top 1 Million stats, there's something like only 2.5% of the world's top million websites were using a CSP, which is a really, really small number. And frankly, that's part of the reason why I got involved with Report URI too, because there's just a massive opportunity there to actually do CSP much, much, much better. So that's cool. I'm really, really happy with what those guys are doing. Now, moving on, sponsor this week, Tech Fabric, doing scalable, reliable, and secure cloud-native apps. Tech Fabric has been up there on the sponsor bar a few times this year, so big thanks to those guys. They are helping me do what I do, including things like sitting down, recording videos, and writing blog posts, which have no direct income stream or anything like that. But I just like doing them, and I think they're good fun, and I appreciate people who watch them. Now, very last thing. I got to go and get on a plane in a few hours from now. I'm going to get home at ridiculous o'clock on Sunday. Very early Tuesday my time, I've got something super, super cool coming up announcement-wise related to Have I Been Pwned as well. I think this is going to be really, really well received. So I'm really looking forward to that. I've got a blog post to finish writing whilst I'm flying as well. So I'm just going to leave that hanging there. There's going to be something very, very cool next week. I think it's probably going to blow a heap of my time for quite a while after that as well, answering questions and doing things. But let's just see what that looks like when I do the weekly update next week. So I'll be back home in my office then, and I look forward to talking to everyone then. And also, if you do have any questions about things that I've discussed in the update or just general stuff, do put it in the comments on the blog site, or if you want me to address anything next week as well. So every now and then someone pops up and they have a really good question. So thank you very much for that. Okay, guys, I will see you when I'm back Australia side.